Good news for all horses. Dobiroid's Magic Horse Rejuvenators are down threepence this week.
Remember, Dobiroids melt in your mouth, not in your hoof.
What are you feeding your horse, chocolates?
No, Dobiroids, the magic horse rejuvenator with the less fattening center.
Hot Dobiroids. Hot Dobiroids. Hot Dobiroids. Ah, it's a good drop of horse rejuvenator, that. That looks good. That tastes good. And by golly, that...
Yes, the makers of Dobbin's Medical Cummerbunds announce a new exciting addition to their range. It's Round the Horn.
The story so far. Wizened, stooped old crone, Mad Meg, played by Kenneth Williams without any artificial aids, stumbled through the dense, gloomy forest, played by dense, gloomy Bill Pertwee, with ivy up his trunk. Pausing to collect a bundle of faggots, played by the Fraser Hayes Four and Betty Marsden, she suddenly spied a tiny frog, played by tiny but perfect Hugh Paddock. Help, help, quoth the frog, I've got my flipper caught in a bramble. The old lady was amazed to hear the frog speak thus. Quickly she freed it, and the frog was overjoyed. Take me back to your cottage, he said. Let me sleep at the foot of your bed, and when you wake up in the morning, you'll have such a surprise. And sure enough, when Mad Meg awoke next morning, the frog had turned into a handsome prince. Why, she exclaimed, you're not a frog at all, to which the prince replied,
I was wondering when you'd tumble. My name's Kenneth Hawthorne. That was, of course, Douglas Smith, one of the brothers Grimm. They don't come any more grim than Douglas Smith, I can tell you. Now for the answers to last week's questions. First, the what sound was it question. Well, the sounds were the mating call of a female bread pudding, a trouser manufacturer flying south for the winter, and, of course, Peregrine Wursthorn taking his socks off. And the only one who got that was Mr. Peregrine Wursthorn. Secondly, we had the where do you find it question, and the answer came in six parts as follows. Under the bonnet of your car, in an individual fruit pie, under the double eagle, up the junction, hanging in the wardrobe, and behind a bush on Wimbledon Common. At least I found one there, and if it's not claimed in 3 days, I shall present it to the nation. All right, Smith, on with the motley.
Hello again, fans. Oh. This is Douglas Smoochie Smith, the announcer whose skin you love to touch, whose warm, cultured voice sends little frissons down your spines, whose eyes are like great limpid pools
of... Smith, I can't bear you in these narcissistic moods.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but if you can't say something nice about
Smith, someone... the announcement.
All right, and now, Kenneth Horn, Master Spy.
I was in the bathroom of my luxury penthouse suite overlooking Park Lane when the phone rang. I stepped out of the sink and answered it. Hello, Cobber, this is Digger Horn. It's fair dinkum to hear your old billabong again. Come in, flying doctor, chips rapidly with everything and out.
Why do you say that, Horn?
In the hope we get an Australian repeat.
I see. Well, something rather disturbing has just landed on my in-tray. Get over here immediately.
Right away, sir. Well, here I am. Marvellous what you can do on radio. It certainly licks the television.
What does?
My cat. I think it's something they put in the polish, actually. But what did you want to see me about?
Well, that thing I was afraid of has come up again rather suddenly. What do you think I ought to do?
Well, I should put a bread poultice on it. And if that doesn't work, try egg and chips.
Yes. Righto, Horn. Thanks for the advice. There is one other thing.
Yes, sir?
Well, I've been given something rather awkward to handle. I don't like this, but I'm going to have to drop it right in your lap.
Well, go ahead, sir.
It's all right. It doesn't stain.
Ah, raspberry blancmange, isn't it?
No, it's custard pie, of the sort normally shown at comedians.
I don't understand, sir.
Well, a pie of this exact description was used this morning in a vicious and unprovoked attack upon that much-loved popular funster Ken Dodd.
While he was wiping the custard off his face, the assailant loaded his gag files onto six pantechnicons and made good his escape.
Have you sent the fragments of pie over to the lab for tests?
Yes. Ballistics say that they're from a 3.7X Army custard pie.
Oh. Any fingerprints?
Yes. We've arrested the owner of the fingerprints, Milo Nostradamus, an Armenian pastry cook of no fixed abode. He admitted under pressure that he had, in fact, manufactured this pie for a foreign agent.
Blue grade?
We don't know. That's for you to find out. All we do know is that much-loved and popular funster Ken Dodd's gags are highly dangerous.
But who in his right mind would want much-loved and popular funster Ken Dodd's jokes?
A comedian, perhaps.
Oh.
Although it's unlikely, it's our only lead.
And with that, the interview was over. He leaned back, spread his hands on the blotter, and ate it with every evidence of enjoyment. I hurried to a theatrical club I knew, the Chuzzlewit in Great Newport Street. The bar was packed with celebrities. At one table sat Bernard Braden, chatting satirically as he drank soup out of a tin. Close by was Alan Freeman, busily washing David Jacob's shirt in a finger bowl. On the crowded dance floor, I spied Richard and Liz dancing cheek to cheek, while nearby, Dudley Moore and Ursula Andress danced cheek to knee. I elbowed my way to the bar. The barmaid came over.
Yes, sir. Can I get you anything?
I took her in my arms and kissed her passionately.
And to follow?
Well, I'll have my usual, a glass of Parrish's chemical food. Stirred, but not shaken.
Coming up, sir.
I drank it in one gulp. I was shaken, but not stirred. Then I beckoned to her to follow me into the back room.
What do you want?
Some information about Ken Dodd.
I've never heard of him.
Well, perhaps this will jog your memory. From my wallet, I produced a handful of the green stuff and offered it to her.
Oh, a bit of lettuce. Oh, that's nice. Got a tomato to go with it.
Well, if you tell me what I want to know, can you tell me something about Ken Dodd's movements?
Yes. He sort of prances about, waving his arms. Then he fluffs his hair up and twists it into a top knot.
Yes. She was holding something back. I pressed a slice of cucumber into her hand, and she started to talk, and talk fast.
And that's all I know.
And that's all I needed to know. I grabbed her roughly, ran my tapering fingers through her long, tawny hair, and then took her gently in my bronze, sinewy, three-litre Bentley down to Brighton for the weekend. We booked into the hotel and registered. Smith.
Yes, sir?
No, not you. No, no, no. That was the name we registered under. Oh, while you're here, draw a veil over the next 2 days, will you?
Certainly, sir. Excitingly fragrant Douglas Smith. He of the schoolgirl complexion all over. Draws a veil over those two fateful days.
I'd no sooner reached home and unpacked when the phone rang again. Hello, Horn here.
Ah, Horn, I think we've got a clue. One of Ken Dodd's jokes was done by the compere of the new Sunday night at the Pandemonium show.
Jimmy Armfluff?
He. It's up to you to find out where he got that purloin joke from.
How?
Well, you'll have to infiltrate into the show. You could pass yourself off as one of the dancers.
Yeah, but I'm awkward, clumsy, I can't dance a step.
Then the resemblance is complete. But, now look, just to be on the safe side, you'd better take a couple of lessons. Get down to the Ada Poston Academy of the Dance, MI5 branch.
Where actually is it?
Go to the end of the following musical passage and turn right.
Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, this is my friend Sandy.
Oh! It's Mr. Horn. Oh, our bone at Avada Eureka again. Oh, what brings you trolling into this shrine of Terpsichore?
Well, headquarters say I've got it done.
Oh, you carry on, ducky, but just sit and watch.
No, look, I want a rush course in modern dancing.
Rush?
We can't go rushing at it like a mad thing.
No.
Takes years of hard work and dedication, doesn't it?
Great.
I mean, look at Sand. Have a look.
Look at me.
Yeah. I mean, he was a Beams babe till he was 30, won't you say?
Beams babe till I was 30. My hair right down. I had lovely hair right down.
Sit on it.
Sit on it. Yes, lovely. Lovely hair. Never got me anywhere. I've given my life to the dance.
Life.
I've given my life. You know that's true. It's an art form, isn't it? It's an art. It's one of the highest cultural manifestations of man. Or woman. You can't. You can't. You can't. can't manifest yourself in 5 minutes.
You can't.
I mean it. Yes. It's not just a matter of step, ball, change. Dainty wrist, bat your eyelids and hope for the best.
It's not.
Take your actual greats. I'm take your greats. Dame Margot, Rudolph and Uriah. Well, I mean, old Marge and Rude. They didn't just do it overnight. Marge and Rude?
No.
No.
Yes. Well, take Lionel Blair.
You take him.
No, I mean, it's not easy to be like Lionel Blair. But if you're set on it, we'll start you off.
Yeah, we'll start him off. I'll tell you what, we'll give you your rudiments.
Yes,
rudiments, you see. No, seriously. And after that, it's up to you. Right, roll up your trouser leg. Roll up your trouser.
Yeah, look, I don't want to become a mason.
No, Ducky. We want to have a barger at your calves. You see. Go on, get him out. Oh, he's got dancer's calves. Yeah, I'll say that for him.
Yeah. Scotches may be a bit naff, but his plate's a boner.
Well, Miss Horn, come on, let's start off with a simple step like this. Come on. Do you think you can manage that?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, good. Right, Jewel, get on the piano. Go on, get on the piano. With a one and a two, and away we go. Take your wrists now, come on. Lift your head up. Smile, that's it. Chuck and wings. Come on, I say that's it. Now, trenches. Watch your trenches. Now your slits. Splits, I said. Well, do as much as you can.
Oh, fantabulous, a ducky.
Well, what do you think, Jewel? What do you
think? I think he's got it.
Yes?
George, he's got it.
Oh, yes. Perhaps doing the splits was a bad idea, since only his seam's gone. Well, oh, come on, let's try again.
The next day, I auditioned at the Pandemonium Theatre as a boy dancer.
Oh!
Williams. All right. Your sketch is over.
Oh, sorry I spoke.
I was hired immediately, and the following Sunday night I made my debut in the show. After the opening routine, in which I figured as an Easter bunny, I stood in the wings and watched the compere, Jimmy Armfluff, as he went through his routine to howls of hysterical apathy from the audience.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. He said, but sissy, if I walked that way, I wouldn't need talcum powder. Hey, fabulous. Oh, but seriously, it's celebrity time, and we've got some really fabulous celebrities out there in the audience. Why, isn't that Frankie Vaughan sitting down there? Let's have a look. Hey, let's have a look. Well, we are in luck tonight. It isn't. No. That means you won't have to hear us singing side by side yet again. Hey, here's a quick one I just threw in. I went into a French restaurant the other day. I said to the waiter, have you got frog's legs? He said, yes. I said, well, up off and give us a tip, buddy. Hey, fabulous.
I recognised that joke immediately. Fundamentally, it was the same as that stolen from Ken Dodd, that much-loved, etc., etc., etc. I would have to take this up with Armfluff. After the show, I went straight to his dressing room and knocked on the door.
Coming back. Pull up a chip, buddy, and sit down.
Well, I'll come straight to the point, Mr. Armfluff. That joke you did, that was stolen from Ken Dodd.
Oh, I didn't steal it. I bought it in good faith from our scriptwriters, Galton and Simpson.
Not Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, those two whimsical and much-loved laughsmiths of Steptoe fame, whose merry quips have echoed round the nation.
Why do you say that?
Well, I'm anxious to avoid a libel action.
Hey, you can talk to them if you like. They're through there in the office.
I went into the next room. Two figures sat crouched over a typewriter. As I entered, they turned.
Ah, Mr. Horn, we meet again.
You, Ray Galton?
Ah, no, Chewin Galton. And this...
Lotus Blossom Simpson.
You see, not Leely Lighters, merely flakes and imposters have disposed of Leal Galton and Slimson by simple device of persuading them to light TV series on the BBC Two. No one will ever hear of them again. Ha ha! Ha ha!
was you who stole Ken Dodd's gag pile?
Yes, I admit it. I'm going to become most famous clip lighter in the world.
You'll never get away with it. Somebody's bound to find out sooner or later.
Who is going to tell them?
I am.
No, Mr. Hahn. Now you are here, I will never let you go.
Why?
Because I love you.
I so highly God. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, I'll let you know. Whilst his attention was distracted, my hand slid down my trouser leg and groped for something concealed in my sock. It was my foot.
Why are you taking your socks off?
One false move and I shall wiggle my toes at you. And you know how you hate that.
Ah! All right, Mr. Horn. You've won for the moment. But you haven't heard the last of Dr. Chu N. Ginsburg, M.A. failed. Come, Lotus Blossom.
I'm gathering the lovely creature into his arms and with a last despairing cry of... He leapt into the filing cabinet, filed himself under M for missing, and was never seen again. We in MI5 believe that Chu N. Ginsburg and Lotus Blossom are, at this moment, preparing a new series for Harry Corbett and Wilfred Bramble. It's going to be called Steptoe and Number One Son. And now here are the Fraser Hayes Four to sing a track from their new LP, Twist and Shout with Ian McLeod, the Fraser Hayes Four.
I've got my 10 fine toes to wiggle in the sand. Lots of idle fingers snap to my command. A lovely pair of heels, the kick to beat the band. Contemplating nature can be fascinating. Add to these a nose that I can bump and a mouth like gum have I. It tells the whole darn world if you don't happen to like it, deal me up. Thank you kindly, pass me by. Pass me by, pass me by. If you don't happen to like it, pass me by. Look at my toes, they're lovely
twinkling in the sand.
Look at my toes, my
fingers snap to my command.
Then you can pass
to me,
got a nose that I can buy, and you can deal me up. Thank you kindly, pass me by. I've got my 10 fine toes to wiggle in the sand. Lots of idle fingers snap to my command. A lovely pair of heels, they kick to beat the band.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, Douglas Smith sings,
If I ruled the world, every day would be...
Oh, right. Smith.
Oh, all right. And now, trends.
And first, show business. One of the trendiest people in London's West End is club owner and female impersonator Manny La Scroop. Well, Manny, it really is quite extraordinary the way you manage to look like a woman, sound like a woman, and even act like a woman. Now, what is your secret?
Well, you see, I am a woman.
Thank you. And now, we're fortunate to have another trendy person with us tonight. Well-known show business astrologer, a man whose predictions have astounded everybody, Maurice Woodrot.
Salutations. Sorry I'm late, but something unforeseen took place.
I see. Well, now, in the past, you've made some absolutely amazing predictions.
Yes, it's hardly an event of world importance occurs without my having made the predictions. Sometimes as long as 6 months afterwards. For instance, I stated categorically last year that 1966 would be an uneventful year for Benjamin Disraeli. And so far, nothing much.
But the year's not over yet, don't forget.
No, but I'm sticking my neck out when I say that. I have to, otherwise I'd soak my shirt front.
Well, would you like to make some more predictions for the coming year?
Certainly, yes. I predict that in the next few months, man will find intelligent life on Jukebox Curie. Also forecast that Kenneth Wolstenholme will not win the Miss World competition for the 14th year in succession. And I furthermore prophesy that Cassius Clay will not become governor of South Carolina. Or, and here I'm sticking my neck out once more, Mississippi.
I don't want to dampen your ardour.
Well, that's all right. It'll soon dry out.
But look, you have been wrong in the past, noticeably before the general election when you said the Tories would get in.
Yes, I actually did prophesy a landslide.
Yes, when you said it's more like a tidal wave. No. But how do you explain this startlingly wrong prediction?
Ah, but I wasn't wrong. You see, I said the Tories would get in, but I didn't say in what.
Thank you, Maurice Woodrod.
Oh, please, don't thank me. It's all in the stars, you celestials.
And we move on now to trends in music. It's time again to meet folk singer Rambling Sid Rumper, one of the all-time greats. And I think you'll agree, nobody greats like a Rambling Sid.
Hello, me dearie. Chirrup, chirrup, for the fox be away with the goose and the fly be on the termit.
Yes. Well, what can you expect if you leave it out all night? What? What are you going to sing for us today?
Well, I was rummaging in my gander bag for a gladsome ditty to bend your ear out with. It's a song of the Royal Scottish Pretender.
Oh, Bonnie Prince Charlie?
No, it's for an old Scotch tramp called McWhirter. He pretended to be Queen Frederica in order to get free orange juice. You can't drink metal polish straight, you know.
No, it does tend to dull the palate, doesn't it?
Yes, quite so. Anyway, we fell to chatting by the wayside, and over a rude meal of hedgehog pate, he sang me it. It tells a story of a simple Highland lass who one day espies a man in a kilt sitting up an oak tree. Hello. Hello, quoth she to herself. That's Bonnie Prince Charlie. See, well, she could tell it wasn't Mary Queen of Scots.
Yes, of course, a different tartan.
Yes, great. So anyway, she takes him in and aids him and gives him sustenance for 3 months. But luck a day, there's a very sorry end to this tale that will wring your withers.
Oh, good, they haven't been rung for years.
It turns out that he isn't Bolly Prince Charlie after all, but a cabinet maker from Uddersfield called Alf Postlethwaite.
Oh, how tragic.
Yes, and to this very day, almost 6 months later, the Highlanders still sing the Postlethwaite Lament, which goes after this fashion. Ye maki doon a bror mi lamak, a scorpit beast ye through the rock. For there's a tatty bogle in me trussock, over the sea, over the sea to sky. Pull away, me sporran. Till the seas run dry. Oh, I think.
It makes you catch your breath, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I tattered me bogle there.
Or caught your breath, perhaps. Now, once again, as our gorge rises slowly in the east, we present the Shameless Android Show, or as it's known in millions of homes, Never on Sunday.
And tonight, Seamus's guest star, rancid Counterstroke, the celebrated navvy and lay brain surgeon, battling Sid Mouse Trousers, the frozen faggot millionaire, pop singer, whimpering Lord Grope and the Underthings, and Her Royal Highness, Lil Mossop, belly dancer, and Maharani of Muswell Hill. And here is your host, Seamus Hantron.
Well, hello. Well, hello. Now, before we start, I heard an amusing little story that I thought might amuse you, and I'd like to tell it to you tonight. I'd like to, but I've forgotten it. Well, now, we've had our bit of fun, and now... On with the rest of the show. My first guest is romantic lady novelist, health food expert and lecturer, the lovely and overdressed Barbara Cartload. Well, now, Barbara, it's nice to have you here personally, in person, yourself, personally.
Thank you, Seamus. And as my family are watching, it's Jar. I'd just like to say, hello, Mummy. Hello, Bougie. Hello, Poppet. Hello, Granny. She's upstairs having her bath, you know.
All right, now, Miss Cartload, I believe that you're England's greatest novelist.
Yes, I believe that, too.
Yes, and I understand that you've actually written yourself in person, personally, 200 books.
Well, actually, darling, I've written one book 200 times. And they all have the one theme, romantic love. No sex. I don't believe in it. There's too much of it going on nowadays. In my books, the hero gets the heroine in the last page, but all he does is to kiss her hand. After the book's finished, what they do is their own affair.
Well, talking of Western Supermare, leads me to our next guest. It's shy, bespectacled ex-Smithfield Porter, now film star Michael Biehn. Hello again, shy, bespectacled ex-Smithfield Porter, and welcome to the show. Now, you and Miss Cartload, I believe, have a lot in common. She's a novelist, and I believe you once read a book.
Yeah, but I ain't got much time for reading. I mean, we're all living under the shadow of the bomb, ain't we? What chance have you got? You may as well give up. That's why I tell all the birds I lumber back to my flat. For instance, last night I picked up this bird.
Yes, well, I believe Barbara wanted to make a point, didn't you, Barbara?
No. I was just trying to hog the camera. Oh, so,
Michael, this film you've come along here to plug, I believe that you're getting a record fee for it.
Oh, who cares about money? Money don't mean nothing to me. They offered me £40,000. I said, what good is money to me when you're living under the shadow of the bomb? I said, keep your £40,000. I want 60,000.
What are you going to do with all that lovely money when you've got it?
Well, darling, I'm going to fulfil a lifetime ambition. See, I come from a working class background. I was born on Kirardi Street in Stepney. And I've never forgotten the people who live in that street, particularly the old girl what brought me up and made me what I am today. I'm going to go down there, I'm going to buy up that lease of her house, and then I'm going to evict the old slaggy.
I think that's an absolutely lovely thought.
Who asked you, Granny?
On that note, I'm afraid I must close because all good things come to an end. But so does this show. Good night to you. See you next week.
Well, there we are. That was the Seamus Android Show. And would anybody who witnessed the accident... Oh, yes, there was another thing. A few weeks ago, I left you with a what is it question. The what is it being a creature with an orange body, 8 tentacles and hairy legs that made a noise resembling... Remember? Well, I did mention that the reason I wanted to know was that it had just crawled up my trouser leg, at which you dutifully laughed. Well, so far I've heard nothing from any of you, so for heaven's sake, hurry up, because it's crawled up as far as... Whoa!
And there the pathetic message ends, as does Round the Horn. Appearing in it were Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman, and the show is produced by John Simmons.